This is an exciting. I know sometimes we, well, a lot of us right now are saying, I'm so glad we survived Christmas. You know? A little different, it seemed like this year. I don't know if because of the way it fell in the week and then the weather and all these things, and I don't know, but things just, whatever. Has a different change of feelings at times. But now we're at the end of the year, and we kind of look at that as some people look at it, and I think they begin to look back and reflect back, and in a way it can actually bring them down because they look and they go, you know, I've not accomplished what I wanted. Or they begin to look back and they go, I thought I would have been further along. I thought I would have had this accomplished. I thought I would have had this done. I thought. Anybody been there thinking, I've been thinking? I thought. Well, keep thinking. Don't give up. Praise God that we can just move it into the next year. You know how easy and how nice it is. And I know these dumb phones, some people call them smartphones, or maybe it's me being the dumb that's with the smartphone. I can't remember which one it is. I don't know if I'm the dumb. But when I my calendar and things and I've got something set to do and somebody calls and says, oh, we can change this or do that, it's like, okay, can do that. I just go into my settings, hit that, hit edit, change that, done, and go on. What did I do? I just probably changed something from a Monday to move it to Thursday, or vice versa, or whatever the case is. And I think for a child of God, as we go through life, with He wants us to do so much. And sometimes we put more on ourselves than really He wants to put on us. But then we think, like, how am I going to get this all accomplished? And it's, you're going to get it accomplished because it's through His strength and His abilities in us. But I'm going to just say, if you didn't get it done in 2023, just hit edit, go into 2024 and plug it in there somewhere and shoot for it. Don't give up. Don't give up. And so, yeah, we come, and sometimes the end of the year is a sombering time. We begin to reflect back. Things have happened and changed in our families and our friends and our life and our country, or you name it. And so this is a very pivotal, volatile time with people. People with emotions and things of that nature. And sometimes we might look at it as people that have a little bit of fragileness in their emotions and things. Sometimes these years or these times of the years, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, has a way of bringing them down. For whatever the purposes and things that they're thinking about. But for a child of God, it should just charge us up more. We've survived another year. Saw some crazy things happen. But then I begin and I reflect back and I look back over the church and some things that have developed and grown, you know, thinking Thursday Bible study went from the three or so of us, four of us, then all of a sudden, you know, we're pushing now 14. If everybody shows up on a Thursday, 14 people on a Bible study on Thursday. And I should have brought some of the pictures, but I think most of us that are here that can make it are making it. But if you want to come to a time this past Thursday, and this happens several Thursdays, I kind of phrased it this way. We had a food fellowship and a Bible study broke out. Or we've had a snack fellowship with, you name it, we've had it. Plates and boxes and trays. And it's like, stop, stop, it's too much. And so I said this past Thursday, I said, well, this coming Thursday, I'm going to bring a tray of celery. And so we're just going to start off in January with celery. Move up to carrots. Then go to broccoli and cauliflower. But it's the people just love it so much there, and they just love to bring treats, you know. They just, it's been a time of a family growing together in that part of the week, you know, of our church, and Sundays could be the same thing, you know. And so thank you, Lord. Well, it was interesting. I'll just kind of a couple of days back, and especially on Saturday, I just throughout the night, sometime I had stirred on Friday, it was, I should say, Friday night, early Saturday morning. And I'm just thinking about the Lord and the season and the 2024 and what is the word? Is there such a word? Is there a direction? Is there what? You know, all these things we begin to think about. I got up on Saturday morning, and I got my Bible and just sat and began to, I looked up a word of the fresh. I just put in fresh, because it's like 2024. Every new year that comes, it's a what? It's a fresh year. We've not been in it to mess it up yet, okay? And you know, I don't know about you, but I can get into a new year, and about 3 days into it, I can have it messed up pretty quick, you know? But it's a year that it's not come, and I'm thinking it's going to be a fresh start, a fresh time, a good time. I went back through all the many messages that I've had in my computer from back in 07, 08, 05, 2011, 12, 13. New Year's, new this, hey, hallelujah, all these things. And I thought about maybe putting some things together as what the titles were of what God brought us into those time frames. But I didn't do that. I just kind of just read some things, and I thought, no, that's not it. And I went back to my Bible and just reading, and I came into Psalms. So we're going to be in Psalms. In Psalms chapter 92, I just opened it up, looked at my concordance for something fresh. Fresh showed up there. Fresh shows up in Psalms 92. I said, well, I'll go to Psalms 92 and just see what that is. And it came into let's see here. Verse 10, but my horn you have exalted. This is Psalms 92:10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. I go, ooh. 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 I said, that's good. Now, so I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And I just kind of read that and I thought, okay. So let's just kind of look at Psalms 92. I want to read it through. It's only 15 verses. But this is the title in mind, says, Praise to the Lord for His love and faithfulness. And thought process titled for the message that we'll get into, and it came because of a particular version and a verse that I was reading, Triumph. So I pulled this out, Triumph in 2024 with God's help. And I believe you will triumph. You've got to believe you will triumph. What's that mean? I should have looked that up. Now that it hits me, I didn't. But we'll look that up maybe. But that's win. You'll have victory in 2024 over things. But let's start off here. It is good to do what? Give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. There's a song up there. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing His praises, O Most High. So here we go. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing to praises unto your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Oh, Lord, let me just keep reading, not stop here. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad. Through your work, He has made me glad. He has made me. Okay, keep going, Tim. Stop. Don't. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Verse 5, Psalms 92, verse 5. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Verse 8, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Verse 10, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on their wicked who rise up against me, or on the wicked that rise up against me. And verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Wow! I was reading that yesterday morning and read it again. And then I began to stop in a few areas of verses. And I began to see us as a church. I began to see me as an individual. I began to see you as individuals going through 2024 with some of these same things developing in your life because of who, what? Who God is. Amen. So, quickly, I've got just highlighted here, and then we'll expand on some more things here. But Lord, I just praise you to bring it out of me here. Oh Lord, how great are your works. Verse 5, your thoughts are very deep. 2024, oh Lord, how great are your works in Harvester's Church. Oh Lord, how great are your works in, put your name, put your family in there. Amen. Prophesy it, proclaim it, speak it out. Stop speaking negative. Stop saying it's going to be like this forever. Stop saying this must be the way I'm going to have this life. If you've got negativity in your life, get out of it. Amen. Stop speaking negative. Stop speaking what the devil is telling you to say. Begin to look at your Lord. Begin to look at God's Word. Pick something and begin to read it and just focus and meditate on it and allow the Spirit to begin to envelop you in that. Then pretty soon this becomes, when I was reading this yesterday to myself, it became personable. It was me that I'm going to see these things. It was this church that I saw these things are going to develop. It's why is that? Because it's my God. It's your God. It's the God of it all. Woo! He is great, deep thoughts. Then I got it highlighted in 10, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. Your horn in 2024. What's this meaning of a horn? The horn is a symbol for strength and positions of prominence and security. Get a little excited. Prominence, security, hello, strength. The psalmist that is writing this, we don't know exactly who, what, or where, but it's writing this, but it's saying, but my horn, everybody say, my horn, you've exalted like a wild ox. And then say, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Say it. That fresh oil is going to take you into 2024 and be with you throughout 2024. God's oil will not dry up. It will not evaporate. It will not go away if you keep within the source of where the Holy Spirit and that oil and the anointing comes from. It could be that of an anointing oil of that of the priest. It could be also speaking of anointing of like that of just perfume. I don't care. All I know is if it's perfume or anointed oil, I want to be like a sweet-smelling fragrance before the nostrils of my God. His Word talks about things like that. Be a sweet fragrance. God. 2024, be a sweet fragrance to your God. And if it's another side, and there's ways you can dig into that, look at that anointing and all that, on how commentaries go, and most of it is talking about perfume, but I believe also too that as we go into a new season, a new year, the anointing, we all need a fresh anointing. We all need a renewal of our anointing that has been with us from the get-go to be refreshed, retreaded, re-ready, and go. Woo! The 2023, you might have been dry a little bit. 2023, you might have had hindrances and problems and stressors and things of life. 2024 is not here, so don't even go with stresses and problems. Don't say 2024 must going to be like 2023. If 2023 for you is bad, don't say 2024 is going to be the same. Hello. We spoke that back in our fellowship time about the power of the tongue, speaking. Now, if you want to live in doom and gloom and problems in your life, just go ahead and confess it. Well, my family is going to be like this. Well, so be it. You just proclaimed it. Well, I'm going to carry this sickness into 2020. Well, go be sick. You're going to be sick. You just proclaimed it. The devil holds on to what you say. He doesn't put those things on you. You put them on yourself, guys. 99.9% of our situations, we put on ourselves. Because it happens and we claim it rather than we happens and we disclaim it. Let's disclaim the things that the devil says and proclaim what the Word of God says we are. But my horn, remember, horn is a symbol of strength, positions, prominence, and security. But my prominence, my security, my strength, you have exalted. Now, I've not been around much in wildlife and wild ox, but I don't think I'd want to tie into a wild ox that's got strength. I've been anointed with fresh oil. Then I dropped down to 12. Highlighted that. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Who here is the righteous? You're going to flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. For those who are planted in the house of the Lord, well, they're going to flourish in the courts of our God. Are you planted? Hello? You better find someplace and plant yourself, folks. Many people are not in churches. We don't want to grow the church just to have an organization, not just to have a club. But it's going to say this. I would say this. You people out there, they need to plant themselves somewhere in the body of fellowship that is talking and speaking and sharing this very word of God for them to have success and victory in their life and to get out of the doldrums and get out of the gloom and get out of the world and get out of all the doom and gloom and agony and despair. Thank you, hee-haw, from way back there, you know? So we are going to go in with this. Oh, plant yourself. I'm going to say plant yourself, not in church, plant yourself in that of the field of God. And then God will put you into a church. And you're going to flourish. And then what happens after you flourish? 14. They shall bear fruit in old age. Now, I'm not going to tell you, when I saw old age, I saw a lot of people that I recognize. and myself included. I go, Lord, this is for us. This is for harvesters. Hey, they shall bear fruit in old age. This is just telling me, I'm not even there in the notes of where I went into. But don't look at your age and say, I'm over. You ain't even started yet with all the things that God has for you. Amen? You look at age, and age is nothing but wisdom. With age is nothing but you've been through battles. Age is saying that I have weathered some things. And if you've weathered those things and stayed or got stronger with the Word of God, you are a valuable asset to the kingdom of God to share with those of the younger generation to how to hang in there. Hang in there. It'll get better, amen. Many things in my past, there was just a few people that I remember in the other church that at that time I was young and they were older, and they would share some things that they experienced in their life or even in their mid to upper lives before they got really old, okay? And the things they went through, but they showed and talked and gave a testimony of victory that got them through it. That's why early on I loved being with older people in the church. My goodness, Dean and me were chauffeurs for the senior group at the Rock Assembly. We took them on outings. We took them to Lake Geneva. We took them to New Glarus. We went. If I could be with the older people, the older generation, I loved it because I loved listening to their stories. Amen? Why is that? Because they've got wisdom. Their life has gone through something. And now they're in their 70s, late 60s, you know? And they're able to share. And I can remember and hold on to those things. And remember, I can name off names of husbands and wives and individuals and men. This gives us encouragement. They shall still bear fruit. You will still bear fruit in your old age. Guess what? 2024 is coming. We're all going to get another year older. Ain't that exciting? They shall be fresh. But look, fresh. The world looks at old as dried up, stale, shriveled up, yuck. But they shall be fresh. Fresh is full of oil or sap. And flourishing. Flourishing is green. Green shows life. Green shows potential. And then 15, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. As I talked about, man, let me jump there before I get into this over here. I might sideline it here. So when it talks, oh Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. One of the areas I look at, just, you don't have to go there, but you might look at Psalms 40, verse 5 speaks of that. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done. Amen. He's done them already. That's what we say. There's nothing new under the sun that God's going to do. God has created it. He has spoken it. He has got it prepared. But you're saying, well, yeah, but my life is now and I'm going into my future. I'm going to say this. God already has your 2024 planned out, prepared, and everything there ready and set up for you to go. It's like going to a store. It's like going and calling Target or whoever or Woodman's, and you've ordered your stuff and you go in there and you hit your app and say, I'm here at the drive-thru. Bring it out to me. God has got your order ready for 2024. Hit the button, accept it, and say, I'm here to get it. Woo! Woo! Come on. Your order is ready for you. God might be even so much of a God that he might even at times tell you, Tim, it's ready for you. Go get it. Okay. And I'm not going to start naming off everybody here, but put your name in there. Ding. You're going to look at that phone. Ding. Oh, it's ready for pickup. Ooh, yeah. The only thing is, it's been ready for your pickup from the foundations of when God spoke this world into existence. Because back then, God already created everything he's going to create. He's not recreating. He's not doing, now I know we pray for recreated miracles and healings and recreated joints and things like that. But the overall thing of life and how he's got it planned out and what he's got prepared for each one of you already in 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, it's there. We've got to walk to it. We've got to say, I'm here. Bring it out. Okay. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. And there's so many. I can't keep them straight. Wow, there's so many. Hasn't God been good to you? Start listing them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's that song? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Well, now count your many blessings. Name them one. Oh, he's a blessing God. Don't leave a blessing uncovered in 2024. If you missed a blessing in 2023, pick it up in 2024. Say, God, you know, if I missed something in 2023 as a blessing, forgive me. Lord, would you move it to 2024 for me? And by his grace and mercy, you might say, okay, done. I cannot be recounted to you in the order that I've had. Oh, your thoughts toward us are so great. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This is all Psalms 40, chapter 40, verse 5. They are more than can be numbered. One other area that speaks toward that is in Psalms 139:17. 139:17 just says this, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Isn't it? God has thoughts about you. Isn't that exciting? You think you're in this world by yourself? You think, oh, well, nobody cares. Nobody knows I'm here. Nobody knows I exist. Who cares? Nobody, I'm, and this is like the end of the year. Da, 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 da. There'll be many people sitting at home alone in apartments that haven't had any contact with anybody, and they're thinking like, nobody knows me, nobody cares about me, nobody is concerned about me. But I'm going to tell you, if they would only know that of their God, the creator that created them, hey, he's got thoughts of you. How great is the sum of them, it says. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. He is with us. He will be with you on your journey into this next year. He will not leave you, neither will he forsake you. Stay with him. When the going get tough, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, lift up and say, here I am, Daddy, carry me. And he will carry you across whatever that is that's going on in your life. Amen? Isn't that great to know that you got a God, a Father in heaven that loves you, cares for you, will never leave you, is always there, has good things planned for you? Woo! Woo, woo, woo. Oh, Father. So as I looked at those areas, those highlight areas, I proclaimed that in myself. I looked at that for the church. I proclaimed, I'm just proclaiming these things. Now, no, I don't proclaim that. It's God's. What did I just say? Say, strike that down, Lord. I mean, like that in a court, and if somebody just said something, and go, Your Honor, strike it. Strike it from the order. Strike it from that. I was so encouraged today. So I had gotten up last night, stirred, probably had to go to the bathroom and whatever, but you lay back down, you're not falling back to sleep, and I began to think, and I shared in Sunday school, about just beginning to pray for my grandkids and my family, my sons, my daughters, my son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, my grandkids, and just asking God's blessings over them and preparing their life and saying, Lord, you've brought them here and you've got a destiny for them. I pray that they fulfill the destiny that you have and accomplish everything that you've got prepared for them. Keep them protected. Keep the devil away from them to destroy them. Lord, I'm even praying now somewhere out there is their spouse. Is out there somewhere upon this earth walking around. Anyway, I went through all that type of stuff. And after I got done, Ed, what did you say? It's like, wow. Let's see. Did you have pepperoni pizza when you went to sleep last night? Oh. I didn't know. But see, that's God is moving and stirring the older ones in church, the older family, the members, the us of gray hair. We've got to begin to pray and ask God's blessings over the generations of our kids and our grandkids and even the grandkids of the grandkids. You know, it's vitally important because if he tarries, there's going to be another generation and another generation. My kids have had kids. My grandkids are going to get married. They're going to have kids and their kids. It'll continue on until it's time for the Lord to come back. But if there's going to continue on, I want to do all I can to prepare the way. Jesus said, I've come to prepare the way. How are we doing it as parents and grandparents and people that maybe don't have grandkids or kids or whatever, I don't know, but you know people, and you just begin to pray for loved ones or whatever the case is. But it's important that we begin to hear those things of God and to start proclaiming and praying out. Maybe it's only because as we get older, like I shared, we begin to have a little bit more thoughts of those things. You know, was I concerned about that when I was 30, 35, 40? No, no. The whole life was ahead of me. 25, I'll never get old. I wake up now, I sit in my chair, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm my dad. I look at my skin, and these spots and things, and I go, that's what my dad's arms look like. Wow. God has brought us along for a purpose. At no matter what age and where we're at. But I would encourage you to just really start reflecting a little bit and begin to look ahead. Amen? Don't give up. Now, when I look at Psalms 92, the verses 1 through 2, it speaks to this. We have enjoyed the current season starting with Thanksgiving, right? And moving into Christmas. And all of those times usually reflects around what? Being thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, at Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the family and our times of blessings. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for your bountiful things and things of that nature. We get to Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are very thankful. Once Thanksgiving, not the meal, but once Thanksgiving becomes an integral or an essential part of our lives, we will find that our attitude toward life will do what? Change. You find somebody that's thankful, their life is different. They don't see the negative, they see the good things. And they focus on the positive, not the negative. With this change, we will be more positive than negative in our look at life situations. We all are going to have life situations. How are you going to look at them? How are you going to respond to them in 2024 like you did in 2023? If that was the case, how did that go for you? Maybe we need to change your outlook. Maybe you need to be changing your thankfulness. Kindness and courtesy and generosity will also be active in our lives. Once we begin to look at these things in a more thankful, positive light, our kindness and courtesy and generosity begins to become more active in our lives. And that's what God wants us to be. You know, in this next year, to be more generous, more courteous, more kind to those around you, even to those in your family. I don't know, but to be that. And not to mention here, the big one, love will be ever evident in our life along with the humbleness. As you begin to find someone that is very thankful, a lot of these attributes begin to show of kindness and thankfulness and courtesy. That's when we read 92:1-2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Now, as I've looked at that now, I'm going to read that same in verse 2 out of the Passion. And it says this, at each and every sunrise, we will be thankful. At each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and your love. As the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming you are so faithful. Maybe that's why you wake up at 2, 3 o'clock in the mornings and you're just laying there and it's the stillness of the night and your mind begins to go into things of life and families and kids and you begin to find out that I am a blessed man. That the legacies and things that are there, I have no clue what my grandkids are all going to be doing. What came to light a little bit here too as I looked at some of these things is I had seen this some time back when I was going through Ancestry and building my trees and things. And you get articles and people write things and put into this thing and you can, if you're a subscriber, you can pick up these things. But anyway, I found out, you know, I've always thought like, well, wonder what my ancestry's back were for that of things of God. And I did find many ways back in the 1800s and all when they came across in Plymouth Rock and they came off the Mayflower and they came across those first few ships that there were some that began with the Methodist Church and first pastor and all that in that community as a Methodist pastor. That's pretty cool. That's back in the 1800s or 1700s, really. 1700s back then. 1600s. You know, it's interesting. But anyway, I get now to where I had an aunt, and I began to read up on her. That was my aunt. My grandfather, which I never met my grandfather. He passed before I was born. But one of his sisters, just a little blurb in there, like, you know, she went to a tent meeting in Hawk Point, Missouri. A tent meeting. Ooh, red flag. Caution. Went to a tent meeting, and a revival broke out. She received, you know, that of Christ in a greater measure, received the Holy Spirit in a way, became, you know, filled with that, and I don't have the thing in front of me about some things that she had said, but she had made a profound statement just a few days before she passed. She evidently was like a caregiver or went to those that were shut in and would see how they're doing, and she would just leave little notes. And it's just a little sentence. It's really powerful. But then to find out, you know, at the end of the thing, saying she was filled with the Holy Spirit and stuff. I thought, there, hey, I got an aunt. I had an aunt back then that, praise God, you know. Came through the time, my one sister, she, later on in life and all, we began to find out that I had a really connection with her as a half a sister. And all of my brothers and sisters were half to me because of the way things were. But she had developed a relationship with Jesus Christ herself. And so we would go over and visit with her and her husband, and it was, you know, things of God, Holy Spirit, praying. So it's awesome. And so God winds these threads through families. And that's where maybe when I woke up this early morning to where I began to pray for my generations and the generations to come with the legacies that are still out there to come forth. Because I'm going to tell you, until Jesus comes back again, things are going to keep going as God has ordained them to go, and we've got to be found faithful proclaiming the things that he's proclaimed so that we touch the hearts and the lives of the people of today so they can venture into their tomorrows and pick up that ardor that's waiting for them in 2024, you know? So, in verse 4, where it says, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. I will triumph in the works of your hands. That's in the New King James. Passion says this in 4:5. Well, I should say this in 4:5. I apologize. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. And it says this in the Passion. No wonder I'm so glad. Anybody here glad? I can't keep it in, Lord. I'm shouting with glee over all you've done. How can you not shout for the things that God has done? We go into church services and everybody's got to be stoic and quiet and no, don't do anything. No, we need to be happy and shouting with glee for all you have done for me. Verse 5, it says in the Passion, what mighty miracles in your power at work. What mighty miracles in your power at work. Just to name a few. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning. Things that God, it's... God... It does not deal in, oh, it's just an accident, I'll figure it out and I'll fix it. No, everything has purposes and layers of meaning with what God has prepared. Nothing surprises him. And verse 10, it says, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. Remember that? I've been anointed with fresh oil. Verse 10 in the Passion says, your anointing has made me strong and mighty. And here's where I saw this, and it kind of brought this out. You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. I changed my title. I said, ooh, I like that. Triumph in 2024 with God's help. Amen. You're going to triumph, but you're going to need help. You're not going to do it on your own. You're going to need who? God. You've had your own ways of doing things in 2023, 2022, 2021. Ding, 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 ding. All the way back. Think of all those years that you've tried to do it yourself. How did that go for you, Skippy? Huh? Or Sally? Turn over a new leaf. We always talk about, ooh, 2024, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Yeah. Yeah. Let God. Let go and let God. You've empowered my life for triumph. You are victorious. God has plans for you to win this race in this life. He did not put you here to be a whipping boy for the devil. If you're a whipping boy or a girl, you put yourself there and you've accepted what the world or what the devil has said it is, and what you've taken what maybe your family has said. Hello, how many here listen to past family? There it is. What are you speaking? Sometimes our families in the past have spoken like, I've been thinking like that back in the days before I got enlightened, but it's like, well, so-and-so was like that. I guess I'll be like that. So-and-so didn't do this. I guess I won't. You know, we put ourselves back. We put ourselves. Nobody really needs to put us down. The devil doesn't need to put us down. We will put ourselves down by just looking at the past track record of people in our lives, and usually our family, and we look at them, and we go, that's probably how I'm going to react to this day. And, oh, anybody been there? Or has that just been me? Anybody here looked at your past and your hair, you know, and you said, I guess that's probably the way it's going to be for me. Anything that's wrong in my life, I can go back to what it was back generations, three generations, whatever. If you go, you mean I've looked at things on Ancestry. I wasn't so happy to find some of those things that I found some of my relations back in, you know, early 1900s and all were in asylums. I'm just barely one step ahead of that. But I call it, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I go, well, I don't want to focus on him too much. You know? So you find good and bad. But see, we look at those things, and it's like, what are you wanting to do? Are you wanting to bring them into your life today? Do I want to bring them into my kids' lives for their time? Do I want to bring them into my grandkids and say, oh, here it is? No, let's start the thing off, and let's, you know, chop it off. I'm going to tell you, one time on this Ancestry thing, if you could change things in your life that quick, I thought, I'm going to start over in this one area of my dad, because I had some duplication. So I took my dad, and I said, delete it. I did that, my whole screen gone. Why is that? Because it all started with my dad. When I took him out, anything below him was gone. Anything above me was gone. It's like, well, that was dumb, Tim. I just wanted to do a little finessing. Is that why that warning is always on there? It says at the very, before you hit the final click, it says, this will delete your whole tree. Well, you know, as a guy, do we read everything? No. I just go, I want to change it. So I begin to repopulate it again. So anyway, but how fast it would be if we could just do that with our lives. Like, oh, Lord, can I just delete this out? You know? With God, when we ask for forgiveness, he does that. I don't remember your sins. I put them from the east and the west. I put them in the deep sea. See, God deletes those things. The devil will not delete them. He loves to file those away so he can bring them back up at you in 21, in 22, 23, 2024. Be aware that the devil is going to try to bring some things into your next year that's going to try to trip you up or to try to keep you where you're at because he likes to see where you're at. And if it's not the devil, it may be you just personally because you like to be where you're at. You got to move on. We got to get where God wants us to be. Now, when we look at 12 and 13, the palm tree, this is exciting. In 12, 13, and 14, let me just finish it out in the Passion. 12, 13, 14, 15. Yes, look how you've made all of your devoted lovers to flourish like palm trees, each one growing in victory, standing with strength. Verse 13 in the Passion, you've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. I had a title one time a couple years back now that it came like, I think a title is, don't just survive, but thrive. See, we get a mentality of, I just want to survive this. If I can just survive it and get through it, praise God. Well, just because you survive it, that doesn't mean you've conquered it. So you want to not just survive it, but you want to go through that and you want to thrive. You want to go to that next level. You want to get better, gooder, you know, keep moving up. But anyway, you've transplanted your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. Verse 14 in the Passion, for in your presence they will still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh. You bunch of fresh people. Verse 15, in the Passion, listen to them. Listen to them. With pleasure they will proclaim, you're so good. You're my beautiful strength. You've never made a mistake with me. Hello. Verse 15, listen to them. With pleasure they are proclaiming, or still proclaiming, you're so good, God. You're my beautiful strength. You've never made a mistake with me. Verse 15 in the New King James says, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I like the Passion. You've never made a mistake with me. God is not here to watch you fail. God is not taking pleasure when you're going through hard times. It's probably, to a point, hurting him as well, but he knows in this life that we're in, we're going to go through those times and things. But he also is there to give us that encouragement, to give us that strength, to give us that love, to give us that compassion, to give us that peace, to give us that comfort, whatever it is, to say, Tim, grab a hold of this and it'll see you through. But God, it hurts right now. I know, Tim. But it's not going to be there forever. Hang on to me. Stay with me. Allow me to move in your life. Allow me to take that hurt, to take that anger, to take that anxiety, to take whatever that is, allow me to take it from you. Now in this other study that I looked at here on 12 and 13 in the verse Psalms 92, 12 to 13, palm trees are known for long life. To flourish like a palm tree means to stand tall and to live long. Cedars of Lebanon grew to 120 feet in height and up to 30 feet in circumference. That's why, guys, we have got to cut back on snacks. Just saying it, okay? If we do that, we're going to need a bigger church. Only with, you know, even with 25 people, we're going to have to go on an expansion program. Go to the bank. Well, we need money and build a bigger sanctuary. How many people are there? Well, there's only like 30 of us or 25, but we're all 30 feet in circumference. But anyway, I digress. These trees are solid. They talk about cedars of Lebanon. These trees are solid, strong, immovable. See, that's what you're in the year of 2024 going through things. You've got to be what? Solid. Solid in the things of God. You've got to be strong. Strong in yourself? No. Strong in the things of God. What about being strong? What about being immovable? You've got to be willing to stand. What does God's word say? And when all else fails? When all hell's breaking around you? Stand. Well, yeah, but it'll keep going. Stand. Be immovable in that situation and watch what God can do. So the psalmist here is seeing believers as upright, strong, unmovable by the winds of their circumstances. For us, that places our faith firmly in God, and we can have that same type of strength and vitality. You will be victorious. You will be strong. You will survive. 2024, you will survive it. Amen? I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's planned for any of us out there. But whatever it is, I'll survive it. I know it's going to be a lot of good from my God because God is good. I know there could be some hiccups out there with the devil because the devil is bad. But when the bad comes along, I'm going to focus on the good. And when the good comes along, I'm going to praise him. And when the bad comes along, I'm going to praise him. And the Amplified footnotes on this, flourishing like that of a date palm, this promise does not refer to success as the world counts it, okay? This righteousness is often not our wealth or our powerful, but, you know, we can look at this, but it's rather our spiritual success. To get into the things of the natural things of this world to be a success, first you've got to have spiritual success. Spiritual success will bring the natural along with it because God says, I will provide. God says, I will take care of you. God says, and Jesus' word says, have life and have it more abundant. Our abundant life is, yes, eternity forever. But while we're here on this earth, God does know it takes things to get things here on this earth. Housing, food, roof, heat, car, transportation. Hallelujah! My God is my provider. But to be strong in the things of this world, I need to first be what? Spiritually strong. You need to do spiritual calisthenics. You need to pray. You need to seek out God. You need to ask for more of God. You need to say, fill me, Lord. Anoint me, Lord. Fill me with more of the Holy Spirit. Oh, keep me topped off. Hallelujah. To stay spiritually fit and trim. I look at all of you out there and myself, and I tell you, we are fit and trim, and we are ready to take on the world. On the inside. We're there. I like that, though. Those who are committed to following God's ways will be so alive spiritually that even in old age, they will appear young and vibrant. And if you don't believe it, just keep saying it, and eventually you'll believe it. I'm strong. Although I'm strong. My knees, I'm strong. You know, you go through this, that, and the other. There's things, aches and pains. All of us, hallelujah. Anybody had an ache and a pain even just coming to church sometimes, you know? It's like, oh, my knee or my back or this or that or I've slept wrong. But we are his creation and we have a plan that he has given us and we're going to meet it. I want to meet my plan head on in 2024. I don't want to miss it. And if I miss it, Lord, give me a do-over. And we know God does many do-overs, doesn't he? Because of his grace and his mercy. And then in 14 where it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Honoring God is not limited to young people who we see as having unlimited strength. You know, Christmas, we just came out of Christmas. Anybody that had, you know, the families and all the grandkids over and stuff, whether it's one grandchild or a handful, there is energy. I just sit there and I'm just looking and they're running in circles and all of a sudden Papa's got to say, hey, 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 stop the running in circles in the house. Go downstairs, go upstairs, do something. You know, you're going to fall, you're going to run into the table, you're going to run into whatever the case is. Oh, boy, but it's the young people we see, they're having that unlimited strength. That's why you get around your kids and your kids and things, and then you get around your grandkids, those they will wear you out, but for a little bit you got energy. And, you know, and then you sit back down in your chair, and then you got a little one coming over and grab your hand and go, "More, Papa, more, come on." I go, "Oh, I got to sit here, honey." But it's nothing like getting down on the floor with them. Hard to get up sometimes, but I will still get down on the floor with them and roll around with them, and they'll climb on me and all. But it's trying to keep me young. Those that are honoring God in their older age can still produce spiritual fruit. You're not done. You know, we get to this thing like, "Oh, I'm at this age. Oh, I'm retired. Oh, I've pretty well spent." No. Now, you've not been sent to the glue factory yet. The old gray mare or the old gray whatever, you know, we're still there. But even in our older age, we still can produce the spiritual fruit. And that's what God's word tells us he wants us to do. You've got to continue to be fruit-bearing. And even if you're fruit-bearing, we read in John where he still prunes us, only to make better fruit. Bigger fruit, tastier fruit, whatever that is. But we're constantly being in a pruning situation. Just because you get pruned doesn't mean God's mad at you. There are many who are older and faithful who continue to have fresh outlook and can teach others from a lifetime of experience from your serving God. You know, 2024, we're going to come across people younger than us, our kids, our grandkids, whatever the case is, continue to try to embed in them, impart into them things of that of God, okay, and serving. For the younger, continue to seek out older followers of Christ who can share about their experiences with the Lord. Let their experiences challenge you to new heights of your own spiritual growth. There it is. Sometimes to keep us young, you've got to be around young, right? I've been around old. You know, if you get around that, you begin to sense that. You begin to be that. So, you know, it's important to stay young at heart, young in your mind, doing things, and don't just throw in the towel. You know, I said earlier, guess what? We're all going to have a birthday in 2024, and I don't think we're going backwards. We're going forward. But I have passed, you know, whenever I fill out a form for warranty or whatever or some kind of an application thing, there is no more box below where I check for my age. I'm just going to say that. I think they need to expand one more box down there to at least go from, like, I don't know, 65 to 75 maybe, but, you know. But there's another. We go through life and we begin to see these things, and it's like, oh, back when I was checking, like, the second box down because I was past 10 years old, oh, yeah, I'm young. There's no more boxes under me. I guess it only means there's one other box I'm going into. Just saying. But I'll go in with a smile, and I'll go in hoping I fulfill the call that God has put on my life. I will go out shouting victory. I will go out and say, God is good. God's been good. God will be good. God's always good. Hallelujah. Woo! I mean, I shared, I think, on Thursday. My wife, I don't know, this past week, I don't know, I got up and she said something to the effect, I might be paraphrasing now, but she goes, "You are too happy this early in the morning." I go, "Huh?" I mean, I was like, hey, I was singing songs. And so I kind of laughed. But exuberance with God, you know? And it'll keep you young and it'll keep you going. But God is good, amen? So as we go to 2024, I just encourage you to look at some of these things, to realize that, you know, his thoughts are deep. His thoughts towards you are very deep. If you try to count those things that he's thinking about you, it would be a hard thing to number them. But he's got them all ready for you. I'm just personalizing this psalm of what we're looking at. That horn, that strength, horn is simply exemplifying, you know, of strength and position and prominence. You know, let your horn, it says, your horn has been exalted like that of a wild ox. Let that be this year of 2024. That horn that he has for you. And then if we finish this out, as far as righteousness will flow like that of a palm tree. Be like a palm tree. Be like a cedar. Hallelujah. Planted in the house of the Lord. Flourish in his court this year. Stay in his court. Allow him to water you. Allow him to prune you. Allow him to do whatever he wants to do. But you will gain strength and grow up to where, what is that? You will be strong. You will be solid. You will be immovable in life situations that come across your path in 2024. Amen? Amen. Well, you know what? I can't wait until 2024 now. Let's just go. Let's fly to, what, London's probably there now? Let's all catch a plane and go. But when 2024 comes, hallelujah, know that you're stepping into a new year, a new time, a time that God has ordained already, and that all I want to say, Lord, I hope I fulfill everything you got for me. Let me get where I need to get. And let it be, Lord, to where you don't have to, you know, kick me in the pants too many times in the back. Come on, you know. Because we get there because of us willingly going, willingly accepting, and continuing to stay connected and filling with that of the spiritual strength. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day. We thank you, Lord, that, yes, Lord, the end of 2023 is just hours before us. But yet, Lord, there's a new horizon. There's a new year, not just a new day, but a new year, Lord, is there upon the cusp of where we're at. And Lord, we're going to enter in with that of strength and joy. Lord God, everything that we walk and work and listen and hear from you, Lord. Oh, vitality, Lord, I pray for health and newness and freshness. And Lord, keep us strong. Keep us vibrant, Lord, so that we can continue to serve you in this new year of 2024. Lord, let us, whatever as far as proclaiming something of by triumphing in 2024 with your help, Lord, I pray victory and triumph for Harvesters Church. I pray victory and triumph in each one of the individual lives here as they serve you, as they grow in you, as they allow more of you into their life. Let this be a great year, a better year than the past. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Better things are yet to come. Better things. There's that song out there in the city, okay? But there's better things yet to come. We have not attained them all. There are still good things, Lord, that are coming down to us. Oh, all blessings and all glory. Oh, Father, continue to shower us with those things. Not so we can just get to have more, but Lord, because we're your children and we're doing your things here upon this earth. To be that salt, to be that light, to be that help, to be that love, to be that grace, the mercy, compassion, whatever it is, Lord, to show people on this spear that, oh God, you are good. And God, you are a loving and a caring God. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Go with us now, I pray. Bless that of the offering. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness. Bless them in their homes and their provision.